NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by Ford, with 50 new models for 1970. Ford is the going thing. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
What may have been Arab terrorist action took a heavy toll of casualties today in the Israeli port of Eilat. Details from Alvin Rosenfeld in Jerusalem.
Suspicion of sabotage immediately arose today when a truck laden with ammunition and explosives blew up at the military pier in Eilat, Israel's port on the Gulf of Aqaba. An army announcement said 15 Israelis were killed and 35 others injured in the explosion near a munitions ship. Police immediately launched an investigation. In occupied Gaza, a hand grenade was thrown into the crowded market area today, injuring 12 local Arabs and 3 Israelis. Alvin Rosenfeld, NBC News, Jerusalem.
Egyptian bombers have hit 3 parts of the Israeli-held Sinai Peninsula. Cairo says its planes caused heavy damage along the southern sector of the Suez Canal and also struck twice near the town of El Arish on the Mediterranean. The Israelis say only one bomber attacked El Arish, dropping 12 bombs and wounding 2 Arabs. The town is 22 miles from Israel. The raid was the closest to Israel that any Egyptian warplane has gone in 22 years. Iraq has now executed 44 people since Wednesday, 7 for spying and 37 for trying to topple the government last Tuesday. The latest were an army brigadier and 2 civilians executed this morning for their alleged roles in the coup attempt. 50 more are said to be awaiting trial. Nigeria replaces some undisciplined troops in former Biafra. That story and more news after this from Ford.
Hi, this is Van Patrick. Here's the important news. A 1970 Ford Torino just won Class 5 for intermediate 8-cylinder cars in the Union 76 performance trials. What's that mean? Plenty. It proves just how good a Torino really is in combined performance for safe passing acceleration, fuel economy, and stopping power. Winning big has been the name of the game for Torino this year. For instance, a specially prepared 1970 Torino won the Grand National Stock Car Competition at the Riverside 500. And it was just announced that Motor Trend Magazine named the entire line of Torinos the Car of the Year. Torino won over all other American cars after 500 miles of rugged road testing by a panel of independent auto experts. And right now, Torino, Car of the Year, is the buy of the year during your Ford dealer's 6th annual white sale. So get on down to your Ford dealer's right away and pick out a winning Torino for yourself.
Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
Nigerian military commanders reportedly have begun to pull their 3rd Marine Commando Division out of the former rebel territory of Biafra. Reports reaching Lagos today said the division's troops were committing excesses like rape and looting. They are reportedly being replaced with units of the Nigerian 1st Division. A British investigation team appointed by Prime Minister Wilson today said the relief situation in what used to be Biafra was not as serious as earlier reports had suggested, but the investigators said the effort to care for refugees is still unsatisfactory. The team said many Igbo tribesmen are still hiding in the bush and some are suffering from malnutrition. In Vietnam, the 2 latest actions reported were clashes between Allied and Communist troops in the U Minh Forest of the Mekong Delta south of Saigon and near Black Virgin Mountain north of the capital. Both areas have long been Communist strongholds. The Allies say they killed 37 Communist troops while reporting only 4 South Vietnamese government soldiers wounded. More in a moment.
You've got a full-size family, you need a full-size car, and you need it now. Fact. Right now, during his white sale, your Ford dealer's got full-size Galaxy 500 hardtops and sedans specially equipped at special low package prices. The sedan's great, and the hardtop, the lowest-priced full-size V8 hardtop you can get. These Galaxies have Ford's famous built-in quiet. They also come with a big 302 cubic inch V8 and beautiful vinyl trim and a big choice of options. Going full-size, get going to your Ford dealers.
A study ordered by Army Chief of Staff William Westmoreland concludes that racial tension has risen in the Army. The survey found that black soldiers are losing faith in their situation in service. The Pentagon's investigators found, however, that racial hostility appears to diminish the closer a unit is to combat. 2 young Berliners today climbed the Berlin Wall the unusual way from west to east. They'd apparently had too much to drink and went over the wall on a bet to win a case of beer. East Berlin border guards fired at them, wounding 1, and they carted both away. Greece and Albania have technically been at war since 1940, but ignoring that, the Greek military regime and the Albanian communist government have signed a $2 million trade deal. Athens says that doesn't mean they'll establish diplomatic relations. Once again, the hour's top story, explosives that may have been detonated by Arab saboteurs today killed at least 15 Israelis and wounded 35 others at the port of Eilat. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again in the hour when Ford, with 50 new models for 1970, brings you NBC Monitor News. Monitor music a la Herb Alpert, Maltese Melody. Today, January 24th, is the 122nd anniversary of the famous California Gold Rush of 1848. Well, you'll be happy to know you've struck it rich, too. You found Monitor 1970, the mother lode of solid gold. Listening, here's a gleaming nugget from Tony Bennett, his latest, Little Green Apples.
That's not loving me, but all I've got to say, God did make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, and Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God did make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. When myself is feeling low, I think about her face aglow to ease my mind. If that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God did make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. There's no such thing as make-believe, puppet dogs and autumn leaves and BB guns. God did make little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis when the winter comes. When myself is feeling low, I think about a face of gold to ease my mind. if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God did make little green apples and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, and Mother Goose. There's no nursery rhyme. God did make little green apples, and it don't snow in Indianapolis when the winter comes. When myself is feeling low, I think about a face of glow to ease my mind. If that's not loving me,
the Sports Now, Sports with Joe Garagiola.
If you watched, either on television or in person, when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl game, chances are that it provided you with some kind of a sports memory. Maybe it was unpleasant, maybe it was very pleasant, or maybe it was just a surprise. In any event, you're not likely to forget it. Now, let me tell you about a guy who didn't see the game, but will probably remember it better than most people. He's a newspaper man named Phil Hensel. And like a lot of others, he decided that the Super Bowl called for a pregame prediction. And Mr. Hensel didn't hedge. He said that the Chiefs had about as much chance as a junior high school against a college team, and said that the Super Bowl would be a massacre to compare with the one on St. Valentine's Day 40 years ago. Now, the real kicker was that Mr. Hensel disagreed with Jimmy the Greek on the odds. Jimmy had made Minnesota a 13-point favorite. Phil Hensel said he thought the Vikings should be a 40-point favorite over Kansas City. Now, what makes these predictions worth talking about now is the fact that they were printed in Mr. Hensel's newspaper, The Times, in Leavenworth, Kansas. And you can imagine what a kick his readers got out of that column. Well, one of my listeners in Leavenworth, Mr. Phil Klotz, sent me a copy of that column, and also the one that Mr. Hensel wrote after the Super Bowl game. In that one, Phil Hensel said that he didn't watch the game and had taken a nap instead. He was awakened by the telephone, but something told him not to answer it. He continued to not answer it after finding out that the Chiefs had won the game. He says the phone rang 55 times in 1 hour and it caused him to take a walk in 27-degree weather. Well, you can imagine what the letters to the editor column looked like in the Leavenworth Times for the next few days. Everybody took a shot at Phil Hensel. But those people didn't realize what a contribution he might have made to their community. You see, on Monday morning, in front of the office of the Leavenworth Times, Phil Hensel was hung in effigy by some fans. Now, the effigy was on a boom attached to a truck, so it wasn't there permanently. But let's suppose that it had stayed there permanently. Just imagine the tourist business that Leavenworth would get just from football coaches to see a sports writer hung in effigy. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Hang down your head, Phil Hensel. Hang down your head and cry. Well, so much for that fearless and peerless prognosticator, Phil Hensel. Onward, and if you want to hear the very newest from the Irish Rovers, Rhymes and Reason, you're going to have to be absolutely quiet. So quiet you can hear a pin drop. Or a cricket crick. Listen.
For the children and the flowers are my sisters and my brothers. Their laughter and their loveliness would clear a cloudy day. Like the music of the mountains and the colors of the rainbow, they're a promise of the future and a blessing for today. So you speak to me of sadness and the coming of the winter. Fear that is within you now that seems to never end. And the dreams that
that have escaped you, and I hope that you've forgotten. And you tell me that you need me now, and you want to be my friend, and you wonder where we're going, where's the rhyme and where's the reason, and that you cannot accept. It is here we must begin to see the wisdom of the children, and the graceful way of flowers in the wind. For the children and the flowers are white sisters and white brothers. Their laughter and their loveliness would clear a cloudy day, like the music of the mountains and the colors of the rainbow. They're a promise of the future and a blessing for today. And it's colder than the sea. It is written from the deserts to the mountains they shall lead us, by the hand and by the heart, and they will comfort you and me. In their innocence and trusting, they will teach us to be free.
Rovers, one of the reasons for the rhyme. And if it's good music you're seeking, we invite you to stay with us. Stay right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Millions of Americans are living in cities and towns in which the air is polluted by all sorts of waste products. We hear more and more about this growing health menace, but little about what we can do to prevent it. You as an individual can help to keep the air clean in your community. First, know your community's laws regulating burning of trash and leaves, and observe these laws. Keep your automobile engine properly tuned. This will not only reduce the amount of unburned particles exhausted into the air, it will also make for a more efficient ride and easier starting. Secondly, learn about your community's laws concerning industrial and commercial smoke controls. Are these rules being enforced? If not, you and your neighbors should ask some pointed questions as to why smoke isn't properly regulated. The entire nation is becoming aware of the hazards of air pollution. You can help keep the air you breathe clean. A public service announcement from the American Medical Association.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
18 minutes past the hour, Gene Rayburn again with more of Monitor, the category music, the music maker, Florence Henderson with Conversations.
Do you come here often? Have we met before? Tell me your impression now. Could you like me? Who am I fooling?
One-way conversation next as Monitor's movie critic Gene Shalit tells us what he thinks about one of the new movies he's just seen.
Any American who doesn't know English history just hasn't been going to the movies. Ever since Charles Laughton's portrayal of King Henry VIII, that particular Henry has been the best known of all British sovereigns, except perhaps the first Queen Elizabeth, who was Henry's daughter. Well, a new movie about Henry VIII has just opened, and it's about his life with the second of his six wives, Anne Boleyn. The movie is called Anne of the Thousand Days, which gives you an idea how long she lasted. Henry was married to Catherine of Spain when one day he met Anne Boleyn. He went head over heels in love with her, an old phrase even then. He was also annoyed at Catherine because she hadn't provided him with a male heir. So he divorced Catherine to marry Anne after a tumultuous courtship, and Anne proceeded to give birth to a daughter. When she then gave birth to a second daughter, everybody knew this movie was coming to an end, and everybody was right. Henry ran a crooked trial that convicted Anne of adultery and treason, and he had her head chopped off. All of this is the subject of Anne of the Thousand Days, a movie that's splendid with pageantry and posturing and everyone pomping it up. Richard Burton, the well-known jeweler, plays Henry VIII, and he's in good voice. Anne is portrayed by a French-Canadian actress named Geneviève Bugeaud. She practically steals the picture from Burton. She's pretty, and she's shrewd, and we're going to be seeing a lot of her in the future. But for me, Anne of the Thousand Days is too long. It runs 2.5 hours, and it has none of the fire or wit of, say, The Lion in Winter, which was about an earlier Henry. But for an all-family movie, for an old-fashioned costume drama, and for a good performance by Geneviève Bugeaud, a relatively new actress, Anne of the Thousand Days makes a nice, long Saturday night in the movies. This is Gene Shalit for Monitor.
Well, between now and that evening movie, there is lots of entertainment for the family right here on Monitor, some of which follows immediately one of the new songs by Malcolm Roberts, Love Is All.
Yesterday, I knew the games you play. I thought I knew the way. Meant to be, and now there's you. My foolish games are through. Now at last I have found just what makes this old world turn around. Thank you.
bubbles, too much work, tension, food, almost anything can cause stomach upset, acid indigestion.
Will somebody turn off the bubble machine?
Simple antacids can't, but Digel can. Digel has the extra action of a unique ingredient, simethicone, to relieve the pressure caused by gas, bubbles, trapped in your digestive system. Next time your stomach needs help,
will somebody turn off the bubble machine?
Digel can. It takes the acid and the gas out of acid indigestion. When you eat too well, demand Digel. D-I-G-E-L. Tablets or liquid. It really works.
Today, there are two leading brands of aspirin, and St. Joseph aspirin is one of them. St. Joseph is pure, full-strength aspirin, just as effective as the other brand.
Very interesting, since the other brand usually costs more.
That's one less headache you get when you specify St. Joseph aspirin.
Charles Randolph Creon sound, Peter and the Wolf, which brings a happy ending to this half hour of Monitor. More to follow after you hear from NBC stations along the line. In Central Florida, WLAK Lakeland, serving the citrus center of the world. Gene Rayburn off to have a sip of orange juice, back shortly. Hero, frostbitten friends, and you want to know something? The weather this winter really has Monitor working double time, trying to make you forget the ice and snow. So let's get right to it with a musical warm-up from R.B. Graves. It's Always Something There to Remind Me.
I walk along the city streets. You used to walk along with me. Every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you? Well, there is always something that you remind me. Always something that you remind me. I was born to love you. You always be a part of me. Ooh. When shadows fall, I still recall the cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you, baby? Always be a part of me.
and old love we used to share. Let's go back to the places where we used to go, and I'll be there. Oh, how can I?
State of the Union message this week, President Nixon emphasized the necessity that exists for improving our environment, to fight against the many kinds of pollution which endanger our lives. Well, we're all familiar with the kinds of pollution you can smell and taste, air pollution, water pollution, but did you know there's a kind of pollution you can hear? Listen. Pollution, friends. Noise pollution. And I know my guest at Monitor agrees with me 100%. Right, James?
Well, about 83%. I don't like to use the word pollution. I think pollution would indicate that there had been some purity at some stage in the game, and there hasn't been purity for a very long time.
Well, I'm talking with James Stewart Gordon, a roving reporter for Reader's Digest, who has a most informative article in the current issue titled, "We're poisoning ourselves with noise." And first, James, would you define the term noise?
Well, they say that it's unwanted sound. Well, this is a very poor definition. Noise is meaningless sound over 75 decibels, which can excite the autonomic nervous system, and from which there is no recovery. And this happens all the time in city streets. In New York, for example, on a normal street, the decibel count would be about 75 or 77. When there's any construction, it would be well in the 90s. Con Edison, our great and good friends, when they're drilling the streets up, set up counts of 112. And this is playing absolute hell with people with heart trouble, people who've got ulcers, people who have hypertension, or high blood pressure, people who have nervous disorders. And these excite these conditions and make them much, much more serious than they would be ordinarily.
Well, now, can we ever get used to higher noise levels?
Absolutely not.
No, there's none.
And not only that, but the rate of recovery from noise is exactly the length of time you're exposed to it. For example, if you're in a kitchen, if you're a housewife, and you're listening to a blender, and the blender goes on for 14 or 18 seconds, and the dishwasher goes on, the cycle is 30 minutes usually, or the washing machine, we're a 35-minute cycle, your rate of recovery will be exactly the length of time you've listened to the noise. And so your nervous system will be reacting against it not only whilst you're listening to the noise, but whilst it's quieting down.
Hmm. Now, what about rock and roll musicians? Are they going to get deaf?
Well, they get an interesting case. Some of them do go deaf, very small percentage. But they suffer from what's called temporary threshold shift, TTS. And they're deafened for a period of time. Now, the interesting thing about this is that after they are deafened by the noise, the length of time that it takes them to recover, when observed by a physician, indicates the possibility of their going deaf at a later time in their life if they're exposed to loud, continuous sound for any protracted period.
Hmm.
So you can tell if a 22-year-old boy who's deafened by rock and roll, well, of course, there's no more rock and roll particularly, is there? It's just loud noise, electronic music.
Well, it's loud music, but it's unbearably loud music is what it is.
But you see, now we get back to the meaningless sound thing. As the people who are listening to the music, it very probably has meaning, so that their autonomic nervous system is not going to be as responsive to someone who is older or perhaps not as interested in the music, and they're not going to respond in quite the same way. They're likely to suffer a defect. But the young boy who has usually it's a heightened flow of blood to the ear. The ear is the most sensitive exposed portion of the human body. And If he hears this and he shows that he gets a ringing in his ear, he can't hear for two or three days afterwards, or his hearing is impaired in one way or another, a competent otologist examining this man will be able to determine at what stage in his life he will go deaf. 60, 70, 50, whatever the age is going to be.
That's a pretty grim prospect. I tell you what, James, all this talk about noisy music is making me just a little bit nervous, so let's take a break for a while, hear some soothing sounds as an antidote, and then we'll get back to our talk about noise pollution a little later, okay? Good. My guest is James Stewart Gordon, and together we're going to listen to Leslie Gore.
Why doesn't love make me happy? Why does it make me cry? Why doesn't thinking of you bring me laughter instead of a tear to my eye? Why doesn't love understand me?
Leslie, I'm sure you'll find out why someday. As for the rest of you, something that makes everybody happy is an extended stay here on the Monitor Beacon.
You buy insurance to protect yourself or your property, and the New York State insurance laws work to see that you get the protection you purchase. Here's a good example of how our insurance laws function in your behalf. A new law effective January 1st, 1969, restricts cancellation of your automobile insurance by the company or refusal to renew your policy by the company. Under this law, automobile insurance policies in force for more than 60 days may be canceled during the first year of the policy for only two reasons. One, revocation or suspension of an operator's license or non-payment of premium. The law also requires the renewal of policies unless specific reasons are stated in the company's notice of non-renewal or unless the notice states that reasons will be furnished on request. The New York State Insurance Department says this law applies to your comprehensive, collision, medical payments, and other auto insurance coverages, which formally could be canceled without explanation.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Radio, your weekend host in 1970.
And I'm tall, dark, handsome Gene Rayburn, one of your Saturday hosts for Monitor, on the 24th day of the first month of 1970. Monitor music now by the Lettermen. Traces, Memories.
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine.
Quiet thoughts come flowing down and settle softly to the ground like gold of autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories.
Covered now with lines and creases, take it torn in half. Memories in bits and pieces, traces of love long ago that didn't work out right. Traces of love. Between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeping through the ages just like wine.
Well, now that we've had a few minutes of mellifluous music, my guest and I will get back to the subject of his Reader's Digest article, "We're Poisoning Ourselves with Noise." His name, James Stewart Gordon, and James, a little earlier, told us about the eventual deafness that the loud noise of rock music could cause in musicians. What are some of the other problems associated with noise in general?
Essentially, it's completely a health problem. It's, you know, it's like saying, what other kinds of damage can smallpox produce,
oh,
or
yeah,
diphtheria, or anything else?
Specifically, I was thinking about the truck driver who had an ulcer and was sound asleep.
In talking to specialists in gastroenterological research, I discovered that the principal their principal clients were cab drivers and truck drivers. And the reason, of course, is they are exposed to loud noises during the day. Many of them, of course, are completely meaningless to them. This causes frustration. The stomach begins to respond, the stomach being the weak point in these particular people. If they have a heart condition, the heart will respond. Or if they've got other weakened conditions already existing, they can only be worsened by noise. And the terrible thing is, and the thing that right now everyone's very much concerned with environmental control, and I can't think of any program in any country which is being worse handled than environmental control in the United States, whether it applies to air pollution or noise pollution or anything else, because they're not treating it as a health problem. This is purely something that should be in the hands of health departments and not in the hands of police or legislators or whatnot. You cannot legislate noise out of existence. You've got to turn it over to the health department and say, look here, this is a danger. We've got to stop it. We've got to pass laws which will say you cannot make a loud sound because it is causing damage to people's health. Secondly, and I think this is quite as important as the fact that it must be turned over to medical people, you've got to recognize that no one has the right to interfere with another's health in order to make a profit. There are quieter machines which are in use. A very funny story about New York City. They had a commission and they said, well, now, General Motors, will you make quieter garbage trucks? And General Motors said, yes, they would. And they made two, which were considerably quieter. But because of some red tape, someone forgot to fill out the papers or went to another department. I don't know what the circumstances were. I heard three different stories on this. These garbage trucks weren't ordered. Instead of that, they ordered 875 of the old noisy ones because they felt, well, the other two weren't ready, and they've been trying to explain that away. One of the large utility companies, for example, has a very much quieter jackhammer, and they've bought two. And if people complain bitterly about the noise, they send the quiet jackhammers around, and they play around with those, and then as soon as anything is quiet, they let their contractors use the noisy ones. Now, funnily enough, the automobile companies, where they have a strong union, the United Automobile Workers, use very, very quiet equipment, and they demand that the workers in the automobile factories have quiet equipment. The trouble, I suppose, is that the construction unions are not oriented particularly to help the workers, and so they say, well, we know if the men don't complain, we're not going to do anything about it. Yet they're endangering the health of millions of people in the construction business, which I think is the second largest industry in the United States. This must be stopped, but it can only be stopped by health legislation. And on a national basis, because you cannot say that we're going to have noise legislation for one state and we're going to have a different kind for another place, because noise is noise no matter where you find it, and it doesn't vary that much.
If the level of noise in America generally is very high, and it certainly is high in New York City, I'll attest to that, where are some of the places in the world where it's quiet?
Well, Western Germany particularly has had ordinances passed which limit noise. And they limit the noise that a motor car can make, they limit the noise that a jackhammer can make, and it's written into the Western German Constitution that no one shall profit at the cost of the ill health of another citizen. And I think that's a pretty good law.
Well, James Stewart Gordon, I hope your voice is noisy and it's heard, and it will irritate people enough to do something about it. Thank you for being our guest here on Monitor. Well, sir, we've got problems with noise, problems with transportation, problems with inflation, no end of problems. And yet with it all, we're probably better off than the fellow in this song by Joe South, who suggests, walk a mile in my shoes.
If I could be you, and you could be me, for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's room. If you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a
putting yourself in somebody else's place can be a pretty enlightening experience. The United Cerebral Palsy Associations ask you to try to imagine what it might be like to have a brain that thinks clearly and yet be so damaged from birth that you cannot even speak, cannot express your thoughts and feelings. That's what it's like for some people with cerebral palsy. You can help bring them closer to a full life when you give to United Cerebral Palsy. Bit of information in this hour. My name is Gene Rayburn.